commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, January 22nd, almost 11:45 a.m. Robert Scott, do we have you on the line with us today?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. First thing I'll look for is an approval for the consent agenda. We have a resolution for approval.
So moved.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any discussion or questions? John, could you maybe take us through a couple things on the bill payments for this term, please?
On bills, a couple things I point out once a year as a reminder is also for new commissioners. First we'll start on page two. We got Arrow Energy Services. That's a breaker for all at the wind turbine. We've been working on that. Took us over a year, good year, to find a breaker and to order it and have the breaker shipped to us. So that's in. And a little background on that, our original breakers that were in the towers were replaced once before, and the number of counts on them prompted us to, or closures on them prompted us to move forward and replace the breakers again. So we ordered one breaker, put it in, and now we're looking at either rebuilding or ordering another new breaker for the other turbine, so we have it here before the second breaker and our second turbine malfunctions. So you'll see another purchase of that as we go forward here. Then on the next page, on page three, you see a vendor name of CMPSA Compass. That's our WPPI contract. That's our hydropower contract, or one of our power contracts through Wisconsin Public Power is the acronym. The next page, you go to Department of Energy, the vendor. Excuse me. And that's our WAPA contract. That's a excuse me. Second contract, energy power supply contract that we have. And then if you go one more page, it'll be GRE. That's our third, and the remainder of our power comes either from our plant or from MISO off the grid. So that's our power supply, where it comes from, and the agencies that we receive it from, or companies that we receive it from. And then on page nine, I'd like to also point out utility services, and then it states second payment on our Wilmer Tower painting. So that's our payment. We're under contract with utility services for the work that they have completed there, and then we're in a 10-year agreement with them. However, once we fulfill our obligation for the work that they have completed with the painting, our services drop, our costs drop per year.
Thank you, John. John, I do have a question on the utility services. This says second payment. When is the third due, and what amount will that be?
They're annually, and if I can refer that to Joel, I believe they're equal, and they're 5 years. Is that correct, Joel?
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions or discussions? All right. Beth, if you could do a roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, next on our agenda, we've got our guest, David Turch, is here from Washington, D.C. And with all the fun stuff going out there lately, we're expecting interesting updates. So anything you can tell us about what's happening, we'd appreciate hearing.
I usually begin when people say you're from Washington, D.C. by ducking. Well, good morning. It's delightful to be here. I'm glad that I'm not in the middle of a winter storm advisory. That's the first thing my phone told me when I got off the airplane. I should just run because we were all pretty much going to die in a snowstorm. In any event, always delighted to be back home. For those of you who don't know me, I'm David Turch, and I'm a native Minnesotan. Born in St. Paul, grew up in Sauk Rapids, St. John's grad. I went to Washington, D.C. so many years ago because it's one of the few places really on earth where a man with no discernible skills can make a living, and it was just perfect for me. Founded David Turch & Associates 3 decades ago. The firm has grown now to international in scope, mostly defense contractors, and we represent such people as Dino Nobel out of Norway. They are the Nobel of the Peace Prize, and they also happen to be the largest manufacturer of commercial explosives in the U.S. In the business, we refer to them as energetic materials, but beside the point. Public sector clients go from Oregon to Florida, and we are the dominant public sector firm in the Los Angeles basin. So that's kind of the status of the firm at the moment. Washington, I believe, is undergoing a transformative time. And it's a time I don't fully yet understand, but I think in America we haven't encountered anything like this since maybe the late 1960s. We've watched a progression over time, and you've watched it as it specifically affects this agency, of a usurpation, if you will, by the executive branch of the powers that are usually associated with the legislative branch. And it was irrespective of political power. It didn't matter if you were a Republican or a Democrat. You still tried to grab more power in the executive in the White House and took it away from the legislative branch. The key really is what you're seeing today in the close down of the government. Not a single one of your tax dollars can be spent without the express authorization of the Congress. So the executive branch, the president, has no independent authority to spend money, and that's where we are today because we can't get through the appropriations process. It's one of the really key things that is a duty of the Congress under the Constitution. It's one of the few things they really have to do, and of course they have to do it not later than 12:01 a.m. of October 1st of every year. Let's see, and this is, I guess, a little past October 1st. But being the federal government, we engage in CRs, continuing resolutions, and it rolls on and on. What's really happening is, whatever your political preference is, there is really no direction coming out of this White House. So there's no charge in terms of policy, or there are policies, but there's no specifics behind the policy. And correspondingly, one of the people you should watch most closely is really Mitch McConnell, who is setting the specifics of where our great nation is going to go in the next few weeks, months, and years. And I think this referral back to the legislative branch of power in America is going to make a difference for decades to come. A part of that is that the executive branch is just hollow. Let me look quickly. There are about 600 positions that we think are absolutely key to running the government. They're like deputy secretaries, assistant secretaries, administrators of FTA, for instance, or FRA. Of those 603 positions so far, 241 have been confirmed. 252 do not even have a nominee. So we have fewer positions that are still open in which nobody's even been proposed than we have fulfilled and in place. And for people like me, sometimes it offers huge advantages, and in other times, it's a real disadvantage. I know with Riverside Transit Agency in California, they had a problem on rescission of funds. We got them, I don't know, it was a couple of million dollars. It wasn't that much money. But the money was going to be rescinded on September 30th. They hoped to be able to spend it. They're in the middle of a project. We just needed a short extension in case they couldn't. 60 days, 90 days would have sufficed. Because there was no one in place, this should have required a telephone call from me somewhere. 2.5 weeks later, we had a huge conference call, and the best we could do was to reach an accommodation with the Western Division of FTA that they'd go very slow on processing paperwork just in case we couldn't hit the September 30th deadline. On the other hand, there are huge opportunities. When we're in the kind of a chaotic position that we are today, things get put into bills that under ordinary procedures I'd have to spend weeks and months advocating for. And that's where I think the direct advantage to this institution has today. Sharpen your requests, because there are opportunities in today's appropriations bills that were not there even 4 or 5 months ago. I think that's going to occur for a while. And the next thing that's going to happen is, I think last time I was pleased to be with you, I'd hoped that we were moving forward in the direction of earmarks. Well, now we're going to call them earmarks are a thing of the past. We can't really call them earmarks anymore because they have this terrible tag, and so we'll call them congressionally directed initiatives or something else. They're still going to be earmarks. And the first thing to remember is that earmarks do not increase federal expenditures by one single penny. So it isn't like somehow we're going to spend more money, but it gives me and us the opportunity to bring some of that money back to this institution and this utility for the betterment of citizens in this community. How certain am I that earmarks are going to actually take place? Well, in the caucus for the organization of this Congress in December, it was made a huge issue to Paul Ryan, who promised to do earmark legislation, or at least hearings on it, not later than July. The end result of that is that, now I was not there, one of my associates was. They said they observed Don Young, who was Dean of the U.S. House of Representatives, walk up to Paul Ryan and just say, frankly, Speaker, we're doing earmarks, I have the votes, you figure it out, or I have the votes. So earmarks are just, we're going to do them, I think, a little bit differently. If you're a private sector client of mine, I'm not nearly so optimistic that we can do very much for you, because I don't think we're going to get into the private sector end yet. But on public sector, that's exactly where we're going to go. We'll do them with more transparency. That's okay. I'm happy to advocate and promote anything that you want to do to advance the citizens of this community. I don't care about transparency, and neither does Colin or Klobuchar. And of course, I'm anxious now to become better acquainted. I've met her only once, with our new junior senator from Minnesota. You know, in an institution that has, they worship at the altar of seniority, at least she's not the most junior member, she's only number 99. But you'll have an opportunity to elect her, I guess as the case is, in November for the remainder of the term. And I think Al's term would have come up again in 2 years, so you'll have the opportunity to vote on that appointment a couple of times in the next year. We have a close relationship with Senator Klobuchar. We're sorry to lose Senator Franken. As I've said so many times, I'm a political prostitute, so I'm happy with whatever political view you have. You pay me to achieve results for you in Washington. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Frankly, you could be a communist or somebody way off on the other side of fascist. I don't care. I care about what committee you are on, and I care about what you're going to do for my clients. And that's really, as the firm has gotten larger and larger, it benefits communities like this, because now we have direct access to members who matter for you all over the United States. And they never know why I'm walking in. It could be for a local issue for them, or it could be because I've got a project for Wilmer, Minnesota. So the long and short is we're looking for a continued successful relationship. Now is the time to really identify the things you're looking for a year out, 2 years out, and 3 years out. I think the long and short of our relationship has been that if I look back, I'm quite sure I could promise you I've returned more in specific federal funds for this agency than you've paid. I might address that just a little bit. I'm back in part as a native Minnesotan because, and it sounds hokey, but it's true. This is the place where I grew up And I want to make Central Minnesota a better place in the autumn of my life. And I've been amazingly successful in some things. Next time you're up Interstate 94 outside of St. Cloud, one of the three or four most difficult tasks I have had in 30 years in this business was the building of Opportunity Drive. I remember it well. It took me 2.5 years to accomplish that. Basically, it could not be done. Well, I've done other things, too. Last year, I said there's a ban on earmarks, and there is a ban on earmarks. You cannot do earmarks. So last year, I was able to do only one. It allowed for the transfer of up to $250 million between the Los Angeles International LAX Airport and the Ontario, California Airport. And that transfer of funds was specifically forbidden by federal statute. We had to change the statute. Back to Opportunity Drive, I got that put together, a difficult proposition, and it allowed, at least in the St. Cloud area, for really good-paying jobs. That Opportunity Drive had to be created in order for that industrial park to be created, and the industrial park now houses Anderson Trucking and New Flyer Bus Manufacturing. And there are people who have excellent jobs in St. Cloud who never heard of me, who have no idea who I am or where I came from, or actually that I know where they live because I grew up in the neighborhoods. But that's the thing in the autumn of my life that gives me great pleasure. Let me address money for just a half a second. In the whole relationship with Wilmer Utilities, we have never increased our fee, and I don't intend to do so now. You're a good client. I enjoy working with you. And for comparison, I'm thinking, I don't even know what our fee is, but it's probably a couple of $1,000 a month. I entered into an agreement this morning with the West Valley Water District. It's a California water agency, and their fee is going to be $12,500 a month. I mentioned the Ontario Airport, where we did this earmark thing last year. They pay me $16,800 a month. So it gives you an idea. If I'm telling you that you have a bargain, I really believe it is, but you are covering my travel expenses. It allows me to get home even in the middle of a raging blizzard that I'm not really seeing outside, and it ought to be about 30 degrees colder when I get here, because then when I walk on the snow, it squeaks, and this is just kind of mushy. Now, happy to answer any questions that you have. In fact, I'd really entertain some.
Commissioners, any questions? Mr. Church, I do have one. I'm curious, looking at shutdown 2018, and we're only a couple days in, what do you see as the most stark difference between now and 2013 shutdown?
I think in terms of, I think this was a shutdown that in 2013, it really involved a single senator who then convinced House members to shut down the government. In this time around, I think we had an overall agreement. In fact, I haven't been there since yesterday, so always Washington is a place like you heard of social media. Wow, what haven't you heard in the last 30 seconds? But the answer is this is a little different because we had an agreement. The Republicans agreed, the Democrats agreed, and the White House appeared to agree, and then a portion of that fell apart. And as Mitch McConnell says, I don't know, I have to wait to hear because I don't know what the White House is doing. And that's really been a substantial difference between this shutdown. I think what happens now is McConnell, who I believe is the single most important person in terms of the direction of America today, and Mitch is good at this, so look to McConnell, see what he says is going to happen, follow his direction, because I think if that's where we go, then he'll get it worked out somehow. But when you have a change of direction from the White House, that's difficult to deal with, because in the end, the president has to sign those bills. They have to be approved by the White House, and we have to have that approval. But that's the difference that I see. The Senate is working together more than I've seen them in 5 years. The House is a different proposition. I predicted a few weeks ago that Speaker Ryan may well not go for another term, either in the Congress or as Speaker. I think he's accomplished really one of the two reasons he came to Washington, to reform the tax code that's finished. Then he wanted to reform entitlements. It's going to be a different kind of a role. I don't know about this whole business of elections. I hear all the Republicans are worried about seats. The Democrats are all excited. We have the women's marches and whatever. Do you know, when I look at the elections, I see a couple of things. Republicans are raising more money than Democrats, women's march notwithstanding, and Republicans are doing very well in the elections, with some exceptions. I think Alabama was an anomaly. I look at my own state of Virginia, where I live now, and that's an anomaly. It's an anomaly because Virginia is mostly Republican except for the county in which I live, Fairfax County. Fairfax County is purported to be the third wealthiest county in America, highly educated. I want to say that I helped to bring down the average, so we appear to be more common. But highly educated, very wealthy, and a lot of government workers affected by the current cutbacks and spending and whatever. Fairfax County has almost a fourth of the vote of the entire Commonwealth of Virginia. So I did call my daughter, who lives in Louisa County, just west of Richmond, and I said, you know, Catherine, our counties voted almost in opposition to each other. You voted two-thirds Republican, we voted two-thirds Democratic. But when the break came down, you had almost 4,000 votes and we had 254,000 votes. So I think Virginia was an anomaly. I don't see the same kind of tidal wave. It may come. Maybe the Democrats take over the House. I've been around a long time, and when I'm looking at election results, I see a lot of news flashes. I see a lot of enthusiasm. I don't see it reflected in the polls yet, but we'll see.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah. Was that a long way around to avoiding an answer that could, you know, put me on record for anything?
I do appreciate the update.
Yeah, since you mentioned, you know, that the earmarks are well on life, how ambitious we should be in terms of opportunities that you would think now, since we have, as a small agency in central Minnesota, having a lot of aging equipment and all that sort of thing, what kind of we should expect, you think, those type of earmarks?
I want to sit down with John right now to identify the specifics you can go after in the next 1, 2, and 3 years. Because what happens in Washington is, after the announcement that all of a sudden we're free to do earmarks again, the guys who are going to get them are the guys who have had their earmark requests all in and all of the skids greased. And that's just how things go. And because the pipeline fills up real rapidly, so you want to be at the front of that pipeline. And I think I would go on record today as saying there is only a very small chance we are not going to return to earmarks. Now, will that happen by July or August? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, because neither McCarthy nor Ryan are in favor of earmarks. But I think at least by next January and the next session of the Congress, earmarks are back. So whatever it is, we should be doing our groundwork in the next couple of months. If you wait 9 months out, the ship has already sailed. It's like going to the stadium and hearing the score, and, you know, all nine innings have been played. Well, it's difficult to have any effect on the game after that.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, Mr. Church, thank you. Appreciate your update. Thank you for being here.
Thank you again for listening to me. I'm always pleased when anybody would listen to me.
Thank you, sir. All right, moving on to our agenda. Item number 3, we're looking at the strategic planning SWOT update. And maybe Kevin, are you starting us off?
I will start, and then I'm going to basically refer most of the information and questions to Chris and Michelle.
Perfect.
Since it's things in their wheelhouse this month, so.
Kevin, you want to grab the mic?
I'm sorry?
Grab the mic. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, that's, this month we're doing the, as our, as we spoke about last month, this month's topic is the power supply SWOT analysis, so we'll kind of be walking through the weaknesses, strengths, and threats, and those kind of things this month. And hopefully everybody's had a chance to review them, and I guess we would entertain any questions you had, or if Chris and Michelle have anything of a note to point out to you.
Commissioners, did you have any questions initially, or Chris or Michelle, did you have anything briefly that you wanted to cover, maybe any major updates or changes that we're looking at right now?
Well, the one thing that's ongoing is I'm still getting requests from the two joint action agencies for data, and I have sent quite a bit so far, and I haven't heard anything as far as either of them having a problem getting back to us by February 2nd. We asked for February 2nd as a return date to get back to us with their proposal.
Is there something specific related to SWOT that they're looking for within those requests?
Sorry, what did you say? Sorry.
Yeah, is there anything specific regarding SWOT that they're looking for in their requests?
No, not really. Okay. They're asking for historical data and forecasts for the next 5-10 years.
Okay. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review the information. It is helpful to not have the massive amounts of information as we've discussed, you know, breaking this up throughout the year here. So that is helpful. John, anything that you'd want to point out at all? Or?
Commissioner Madden, no, not at this time, unless there's questions. You know, as Kevin and Michelle alluded to, we broke it down each month, so second meeting a month, they get an update on one of the strategies, and on the side, right over to the right, are the notes of the updates that have been accomplished or the progress that has been made since we last provided an update to the commission. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the commission for questions.
Anybody have anything at all? All right. If not, we'll move along. Thank you guys for a brief update. It's always good. Item number four, the November 2017 power supply report. Michelle.
All right, thank you. Looking at the power supply comparison for November 2016 to 2017, November's power supply cost was $47.64 per megawatt hour in 2017, which is a 5.3% increase from 16. A couple of notes on that. Boiler 3 was down for a planned outage until November 1st, so our cost of generation was $45,360 less than the previous year. This resulted in more energy purchases at about $91,600 more than in 2016. So lower cost of generation, but a higher cost of energy purchases. The increase in transmission from 2016 was just under $30,000. There was also an increase in our diesel expenses of $17,260 in November of 2017 over 16 due to the preventive maintenance done on all six units. This is usually done in October, but was actually completed this year on November 3rd at a cost of $18,510. However, in 2016, the cost of the preventive maintenance in October was $54,000. So looking at the bottom of that page on the budget versus actual graph, November's actuals were 9.4% higher than the budget for November. And note that the budget included generation for the entire month. As mentioned, we had Boiler 3 shut down for a planned outage for about 3 weeks of the month. So on the next page, the LMPs and gas prices. The real-time LMP average in November was $23.19. That was $3.76 higher than in 16. The day-ahead LMP average was $23.59, which was $3.39 higher than the previous year. Gas prices in November were at $3.93 a decatherm. December was at $4.16 a decatherm, and January is at $3.94 a decatherm. January is $1.12 lower than in December of 16. So, any questions on any of that?
Doesn't look like it. Thank you for the report. Appreciate the update there. All right, next we have Todd Graves giving us our annual land department update.
Thank you. Yeah, the numbers are in for the reliability report, and the goal we're reaching for is 5.9s or 4.9s. We have 4.9s and 4.8. We're slightly lower from 2016 due to the June storm we had had. And it just shows, you know, we had a really good year last year. And just with that storm, it affected our numbers just because of the feeders that we had out and the customers that were affected by the feeders. And it makes a big difference in that, you know, one storm can change the numbers quite a bit. The customer average interruption is in minutes. I didn't have any of whether it's a percentage or a minute. And the system average interruption duration index is also in minutes, and that's taking all the customers in account. And the last one is the SAFE, and that is in a percentage. And that's the percentage of the customers affected by the outages. And the capital projects that we had were new customers. We put on about 16. A lot of them were three-phase customers, and there's a handful of houses. It's indicated on the map that we had sent out in the packets. They're replacing old three-phase and single-phase. That's also affected by the number of outages we have in our reliability reports. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we started replacing a lot of the older infrastructure that we have in town. And the next one is the underground feeder replacement ties into that as well. The Wilmer Y project that's on standby at this point. So the money was carried over to 2018. We're just waiting to get the word from the plans and the design of that one that it's going to take place. And the pole changeouts, we changed out 55 poles last year. And the streetlight conversion, changing from high pressure sodium to LEDs, we are about 30% completed. And we're hoping to do about 4 to 5 years, we should have 100% completed to LED streetlights in the city of Wilmer. So the total capital budget, we were down due to the fact we didn't get a lot of the north side done. We took a lot of time doing the feeders. Some of the feeders took a lot longer, like 19th Avenue and stuff. And we did buy Walgreens and Dairy Queen, and then buy accessories for trucks. And so it was nice to get the feeders replaced, and we are going to try and get a lot of the single phase and stuff done this coming 2018 season. So if you have any questions,
none there. Were you going to take us into pages 2 and 3, Todd, or?
What are those?
Looks like we've got the public power associations, some information on outages and causes and so forth.
Oh, yeah, I got, it shows the, out of the outages we had last year, the storm was a 5%, and then the electrical failure was 59%, and that's due to the outages we have with cable failures, that's why we are aggressively trying to replace our cables and our feeder cables, and a lot of the north side ones, it is affected to, you know, when you lose a feeder, there's a lot of people affected, so we're concentrating on getting our feeders replaced, and then the three phase we're pretty much done with. We have a couple of smaller areas that we're going to replace, and I think we're caught up on that, so.
Squirrels are still active, huh?
Yes, they are. And it, you know, that a lot of the squirrels are on our feeders, which we have a lot of feeders that are overhead, and it's, we have some around First Street that are underground, but it's a lot less expensive and, you know, to have them overhead, and, you know, that's the reason for that. A lot of them coming out of the power plant, they are underground, and they're just small sections until we can go overhead, and we've got some schedule, like feeder three going up to the fairgrounds and that, feeder two down to Wilmer Avenue by the Trot Avenue down to Wilmer Avenue. We're going to replace that this year as well, so. And we have feeder one and feeder six that are going down to the east side that we're going to plan on replacing in the next couple years, 2 to 3 years.
Todd, looking at the distribution map, looks like we're winding down with some of that in terms of what's remaining to be replaced. What's the total length that remains to be replaced yet, do you know?
I don't have those numbers. I think single phase, what we're concentrating on the north side is about 80,000 feet, I believe, and the three phase, the older three phase, 88 and older, I think we're wrapping that up. There might be a couple of smaller sections that we're going to replace this year. And I think three phase, 88 and older for the most part is completed.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions at all?
Commissioner Manor?
Yes.
I'd like to point out on Todd's first part of the report, the first page under annual line department update. The average service interruption index at 99.9948. Last year, Wilmer Utility received a national award for our reliability from APPA. So the numbers for reliability, even though we're down slightly this year, are very, very respectable in industry standards. So it's something that we as a utility can be proud of, to have that kind of reliability here for Wilmer. So not too many communities, IOUs, are able to supply that type of reliability. So.
That's a good point. I appreciate the reminder on that. That's definitely something to be proud of and to be grateful for. So that's very good for our community, for sure. Anything else on that? All right. Todd, thank you for the update.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Next on the agenda, John, if you can run through the 2018 consultant listing for us.
In your packet today, you have the consultant listing. By policy, consultants that we use that we anticipate spending over $5,000, we have to bring before the commission. The commission asked us to put together a list at the beginning of each year of the consultants that will exceed that, so we could do a blanket approval of the projects that we know of at the beginning of the year. The list that you have in front of you consists of that, so we're asking for the commission to give consideration to this list so that as our needs arise for utilizing the consultants that are on this list, that we can proceed with our projects. A lot of the list, or not a lot, the bulk of the listing that you have there, if not all of it, is ongoing annual work that we utilize, or that we need the consultants' services for to complete. So.
Again, we're not looking for action on this list today. It's just more of an FYI to be aware of as we move forward, correct?
Well, actually, we are looking for approval on this list, so as these projects come up, we can continue to keep moving without coming back to the council or the commission for each one of these consultants that we have listed. That was the intent. This will be the second year that staff has been asked to bring this list before the commission for blanket approval versus on a project-by-project basis.
Okay. Do we do this one as a resolution or a motion? I forget. listed.
These would be consultants, consulting contracts, so.
I assume that would be a resolution.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
I would say a resolution.
I do have a quick question on this. Is
Mr. Peterson.
David Church was just in talking. Is he considered a consultant?
Yes, he is. We did not put his on this list at this point in time until we had further direction from the commission on whether we're going to retain his services or not.
Any other questions on this list? John, just to point out everything that's on here, again, I mean, there's no real surprises. Most of this we should be aware of. It's either standard things or items that have been previously budgeted or kind of accommodated for, correct?
That would be correct, Commissioner Mattern.
Yeah, does anybody want to offer a resolution for approval of the list?
I'll enter the resolution.
Second. We have a resolution and a second for the consultant listing for 2018 as presented. Any further discussion or questions?
So what does that mean? It's just that, just a question. Anything under 5,000 will be utilized, all this consultants, is that correct?
Or anything under the 5,000 would be brought forward if it's outside of this existing list. Is that how I understand it?
Actually, I'll provide some additional clarity here. Staff, by policy, is allowed to enter into consulting agreements or work with a consultant up to $5,000. Any work that we utilize a consultant for that exceeds $5,000, we need commission approval for. And what we have listed here, we can go down the list. Actually, Burns and McDowell, the commission already has approved that $125,000 because we were before the commission here the last meeting, might have been two meetings ago, asking for authorization to move forward. However, next line item, chlorine safety. Joe probably can help me out here. Is this an annual or biannual requirement for our chlorine safety program update?
There's three parts to it, and each one is so many years. So some years there's one part, some years there's two. So really, that's every year.
And then, so we're utilizing Burns and McDowell for that. The next one is our wellhead protection conservation program. That's ongoing as well. Joe continues to use Carlson and McLean to develop that program and implement that program. And then Corolla Engineering for water treatment design, we're in the process of that. Water tower contract maintenance, it says to be determined there. We'll be bringing that one back in front of the commission as we enter in or propose to enter into a contract with them. But then we go underneath the electric, then you got Volkmann and Wink, and then Wink again, and then HDMK. Those are all for compliance and permitting and work on our diesel generators. So those individuals or consultants that we utilize there, it's kind of ongoing. We call them as we need throughout the year, and those are the dollar amounts that we estimate spending with those consulting firms, and so on and so forth down the list. So it's not always one project, it's ongoing utilization of these consulting firms.
Thank you.
So any projects that still come up that's outside of this is that's not ongoing, that's above the 5,000 will still come.
That would be correct. Yep.
Any other discussion? All right, Beth, if you could do roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye. That passes. Thank you. All right, John, if you could do the general manager's report.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Mattern. The first part of general manager's report looks a little different than in the past, and we can expand or delete it again if it's the wishes of the commission, but we felt that it's appropriate to keep in front of the commission some of the projects we have going on, the action that will be required in the near future. So we listed the projects here starting out the first year that the commission has approved or authorized staff to solicit quotes or bids on or information on that we'll be be bringing back in front of the commission. So our diesel generators will be coming up shortly, our Pram substation for site grading, again, Pram substation for materials, because we have two different bids out on those projects, so they'll be coming forward, and then also our joint action agency membership discussion. As soon as we receive the information back, as Chris indicated earlier, it's expected back here the first part of February. We'll be back in front of the commission with that information and a recommendation. So we added that to it just to keep it out there, keep it in front of everyone so everyone's aware what's coming up and what action will be required. And then also the normal labor committee and planning committee items that will need to be addressed as time moves forward and it's appropriate to call meetings to address those items listed there. So.
All right, thank you. Does anybody else have anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
We are adjourned. Thank you. Okay.